You want to conquer England?
We are on the way there, yes. I'm Indian, by the way.
Okay, what's wrong with India?
Nothing.
So why aren't you there?
Because we're here to take over.
Really?
Yeah. Well, no, we're not planning to make anything better. We're planning to put them back to the Stone Age.
Really? So you just want to wreck everything and then what? Correct. Just leave it?
That is the plan. Yeah, then we go back home.
Imagine, if you will, a movie where the hero despoils and violates the heroine on screen. She then takes him to court. The judge doesn't send him to prison. Instead, the court orders him to marry her despoiler because her honor is now destroyed and no decent man would want her. His family then tortures her, beats her, tries to kill her. But she stays, she endures, and through her good deeds, her patience, and her suffering, she wins them all over. The despoiling abuser becomes her husband, and the abusers become her loving in-laws. Roll credits. Happy Indian family. This is the actual plot to the big-budget Raja Ki Ayegi Bharat, a 1997 Indian movie, and it's not some obscure underground film. It was a theatrical release and was later then shown on television. And it isn't just a strange, quirky, and inclusive movie. It is a window into a cultural worldview where consent is negotiable, where a woman's value is measured by her willingness to win over the man who violated her, and where family honor and izzat and endurance can sanitize rapine plunder and abuse into a redemptive love story. In most Western societies, well, that is Westerners that have still a singular wit, this would be recognized instantly as Stockholm Syndrome dressed up as a romance. And in this film, it is presented as empowerment. And what should be clear at this point is that all cultures are not the same. Some export innovation, rule of law, and individual rights. Others export very different attitudes toward women, authority, and personal boundaries. And those attitudes do not magically disappear when people cross borders. I have a new shop, new designs, have a look. Link is in the description. It helps the channel. I'm sure you'll find something you'll like. Thanks in advance, and let's get going. Now, fast forward to today in 2026, as India is exporting people at an unprecedented and historic scale, legally, illegally, and everything else in between. Pew Research data, widely reported in 2023, showed roughly 725,000 Indians were living illegally in the United States, probably more by now, making them the third largest unauthorized population after Mexicans and Salvadorans. While many Indian Americans do succeed in legal channels, the sheer volume of unauthorized presence of other Indians raises uncomfortable questions about enforcement, chain migration, and long-term integration. Even in Japan, a country famous for extreme social order, low crime, and tight immigration control, an Indian national known simply as Singh was recently arrested in Tokyo after molesting multiple elementary schoolgirls. He confessed, he showed zero remorse. In fact, he said that he felt happy touching their breasts. Japanese media, of course, covered it extensively, as there have been many, 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 many other cases involving Indian nationals and attacks upon Japanese women and girls. And this is similar to all of the other receiving nations. And at the same time, Indian families who have lived in Japan for years, some with children born and raised in the country, well, they are publicly protesting when authorities enforce deportation rules and that the rules are being applied. And while these tensions simmer across the country, that being Japan, India and Japan have just signed a major deal to bring over 500,000 Indian migrants, very similar to what's happening now in Western nations. Is Japan importing the solution to its labor shortages? or importing the very cultural frictions it has spent decades avoiding. In fact, India's Prime Minister Modi has explicitly stated in the Indian Parliament that the goal of Indian migration is to fill other countries and make their politics and policies more favorable to India. In fact, whenever Modi visits another country, he wants visa deals with those countries to offload as many Indians as he can in targeted nations, as these 16 migration deals that have been made in just the past 5 years. And here's where the story becomes truly revealing. A recent analysis on the Noticer titled From Thailand to Texas, Indians are becoming the new colonizers. Well, it lays out the pattern with uncomfortable clarity. The author notes the staggering diaspora numbers, over 6 million Indians in the United States, more than 3 million in Canada, nearly 2 million in the United Kingdom, and approaching 1 million in Australia. These are not small communities. These are transformative populations arriving at an accelerated speed. In Thailand, for example, especially in Bangkok and Pattaya, locals describe Indian tourists and expats behaving with aggressive entitlement. High decibel confrontations, public behavior that feels territorial as the cities are being claimed. Businesses are being bought out and turned into Indian-themed venues, and as a frequent visitor myself to Bangkok, I can absolutely attest to the veracity of these statements. In the United States, the piece is clear that entire towns and tech corridors, particularly in Texas, have been effectively colonized, fundamentally altering their local character forever. In Canada and parts of Europe, it points to transnational organized crime networks tied to Indian origins linked to gang violence and gun crime. In the United Kingdom, the large established diaspora is said to attract fugitives from Indian investigators who then exploit Western legal systems. The central argument is the brutal but direct fact that when migration occurs at a rapid, unchecked pace, attitude toward women and public behavior doesn't simply disappear at the border. They come with the people who hold them. Shocking, I know.
And we hope that these delays and these disruptions will be addressed. There are several people who have been they have been stranded for an extended period of time, and these have also caused a lot of hardships to their families, to the family life that they have, as also to the education of their children. Communication from the U.S. government also, that with effect from December 15th, they have expanded their review process.
The article contrasts the intense Western focus on certain other incompatible ideologies with what it calls a massive blind spot regarding dominant strains of modern Indian culture, that being attitudes toward women, authority, family honor, scamming, trash and litter, and public space, as well as the obsession with izzat, that often sits uneasily with traditional Western and East Asian norms. And the article concludes as it should, and that being that the grotesque abomination and the multicultural fairy tale cherished by the Western world's elite is clearly breaking down when we refuse to examine the actual data and real world outcomes. And this is why you're seeing threads like this, raw, angry discussions on sites like 4chan, Reddit, and elsewhere titled things like Stop Indian Hate, Sar. There are 725 illegal Indians in America, and Japan hates Indians now. These aren't coming from nowhere. They are reactions to visible patterns, specific criminal incidents, large-scale illegal presence, protests against enforcement, rapid demographic and cultural change in neighborhoods and in industries, and the perception that certain imported attitudes travel with the people arriving. The 1997 film referenced at the beginning of this video gave us a fictionalized, sanitized version, and that being the victim winning over her plunderer and his family through good deeds. The real-world version appears to be host societies being told that they must accommodate, celebrate, and win over the massive culturally and demographically transformative inflows of Indians while downplaying friction, crime clusters, and value clashes, or be labeled intolerant or a right-wing extremist bigot.
You assholes.
Neither, we are taking you.
No, don't be sorry. Don't come to our country and litter, you motherfuckers.
So then, the question this video should leave hanging with you is this. Is the growing pushback against Indian mass unrelenting migration simply hate? Or is it the predictable result of exporting a culture that, in significant strands, still produces stories like Raja Ki Ayagi Bharat, while simultaneously sending millions upon millions upon millions of people, mostly men, into societies built on very different foundations? The numbers are real. The incidents are real. The Noticer and its analysis connects the dots across Thailand, Texas, Canada, the UK, and now, in my analysis, in Japan. The movie, the 1997 movie, was just one early unfiltered signal. The world is starting to read the full message. Put simply, all cultures are not the same, and pretending otherwise has consequences. So what do you think? Drop me your thoughts in the comment section below. Like and subscribe if you did like the video, of course, and if this made you question the narrative. If you'd like to help the channel, ways of doing so are in the description. That obviously would be very much appreciated. You can follow me on the usual social media. And with that, I will see you in the next video. Bye for now.